Praise the Lord, amen. Heavenly Father, our Lord and our God, Master, we thank and praise your wonderful holy name for eternal life and for the Holy Spirit. Lord and God, we thank you for thy word, the truth, O Lord, that lights our feet in these last hours. Holy eternal God, in the day of darkness you have given us light. Praise thy holy name. Send down the Holy Ghost and fire this evening, O Lord and Master. Pour out the Holy Spirit. Open our hearts, souls, minds, so Father God, send down the manna from heaven. Pour out thy water, Lord, of refreshing the latter-day rain in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Holy eternal God, bless this service. Touch each and every heart, soul, and mind. Lord, as we crucify our flesh and mortify our flesh before thee, O Lord and God, let us keep our hearts and our souls and our minds skyward up into the throne of the Most High God. Let our words, O Lord and God, the things, our petitions come up before thee, that thou would break every band, every bond, every chain, O Lord and God, and every fetter. Destroy the works of the powers of darkness. Lord and God, as we come up before thee, O Lord and Master, we pray thee that thou wilt send down, Lord and God, the burden of the Lord, that we be concerned about the hour and the time and the day that we're living in. And Lord, that the enemy, Father God, does not give an inch, O Lord, and that we pick up the burden of the Lord, and that we drive him back, O Lord and God, with the mighty word of the living God, and that we speak it in boldness, that we learn it, Father God, as a shield, that we learn it, that we're shod completely in it. Father God, break every band, every fetter, every chain, every demonic power of darkness in the name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen.
I shall not be moved, eh?
Glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved, just like the tree. I'm planted by the living water. I shall not be moved. Oh, I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved, just like the tree. I'm planted by the living water. I shall not be moved. In his love abiding, I shall not be moved. And in him confiding, I shall not be moved. Just like the tree, I'm planted by the living water. I shall not be moved. Oh, I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like the tree, I'm planted by the living water. I shall not be moved. Now, though the devil rages, I shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, I shall not be moved. Just like the tree planted by the living water, I shall not be moved. Oh, I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like the tree planted by the living water, I shall not be moved. Oh, I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like the tree I'm planted, living water, I shall not be.
In that
see where the comet's all night. I've got a mansion over there, with sweet and boiling tear. Farm going well, the land is alive. Now here we have our days of sunshine, but we know that the sun will shine upon us now so bright. It will be changed to clouds and rain until we go, whoa, to that city where the land is alive. In that city where the land is alive. In that city where there cometh no night. I've got a mansion over there. From boiling hair, while I'm going where the land is alive. In that city where the land is alive. In that city where the comet's no light. I've got a mansion over there, for a sweet from boiling hair, while I'm going where the... Everybody now, one more time. Up to that city where the land is alive. Hallelujah. In that city where there cometh no night, I've got a mansion over there. Well, it's free from toil and care, for I'm going where the land is alive.
First of all, it's wonderful to be back in this place here again tonight. The fact that I am here is very supernatural before God in so many ways. And the fact that all of you are here. You're not here because you decided one day to move to Dyer, Arkansas. You're not here of any choices of your own, really, any more than I am. But we're here because God put us here. Many, many years ago, you was ordained to be where you are tonight. Many years before you were ever born, any of you. As Jesus was from the foundation of the earth, so were you called by Him at that time. And it's going to be the ones who have a desire. The only choice that we have is if we're going to see Jesus, if we're going to make it, if we're going to pay the price. That's the only choice that we have. Because many have been numbered with this ministry that have fallen by the wayside, gone back to the slime pits of Egypt, gone their own way, deciding that God had made one terrible mistake in their lives and that they were going to remedy all of those things. I know why I feel like telling you these things tonight. When I came, the Lord impressed upon my mind to share them again with you. So many of you have heard it so many, many times. It's an old story to you. But some of you haven't. And I said to someone one time that said that they were so tired of hearing all the young people's testimonies at the foundation that they didn't want to go to the prayer meetings because they're tired of hearing the testimonies. And I said, that's the most incredible thing in this world. I said, every time I hear one of them testify, it's just as new and alive to me as if I never, ever heard it before. On the television show, I get so caught up with the testimonies that I just about forget where I'm even at, you know, because they're... When you see people reliving them, and you know that God is taking them back to corners of darkness that they evaded a long time ago, ever thinking about, and then suddenly you see them begin to think about all these things. And you can even hear a break in the voices and in sharing with the lost and dying world what Jesus has done in their lives. And I'm thankful to everyone that they are willing to go before the world and be able to completely crucify their own flesh, that Jesus may be resurrected in them, new and alive, that people out there can see in their faces and hear in their testimonies the glory of the risen, resurrected Savior and what He can do in the lives of people. And saying that you had no choice in being here any more than I have, this is where it all started. This is where it all began. My folks didn't take me to church when I was small. They had left the John Wesley Methodist Church and actually were some of the people who broke away and formed the old Holiness Band that later became Nazarene. And those churches at that time was just like your church is today. It was filled with the fires of evangelism and the Spirit of the living God. People shouted, they sang praises unto God. Many, many times in the denominational churches, I've seen people slain under the power of the Spirit. At old revival meetings. But my folks had left the church. They had become disenchanted with Nazarene after it was formed. It began to organize. And even though their denominational background, my old grandfather had a knowledge of the dangers of organized religion. He knew it. He sensed it, that it was dangerous. And when they began to organize into Nazarene and began to move into the mainstream of organized religion, he wouldn't have anything else to do with it. He left the Methodist Church. He said it's an apostate church. It's a modernistic movement. There isn't anything there any longer. They're not living under the same doctrine that John Wesley taught. They've become organized religion. So my folks didn't go to church. And being divided into two groups, one race on one side and one on another, my younger years were not anything in God of anybody teaching to me. And yet he was always as alive in my heart and soul as he is today. And the awareness of him and being back here many times in that ridge, I look at the sunsets and it takes me right back to 50 years ago. I remember standing alone talking to God, looking up. World's going to catch on fire. That's the way it's going to look. I know that's the way it's going to look. That's the way it's going to be. But when they left the church, they just left everything behind them, just like all backslidden people do when they turn their back upon God. The first time I ever went to a church, I'd never been to a church in my life, and I was about 4 years old, and I had a Christian aunt that came and took me to that little Nazarene church up on the hill. And I stood first at the door and demanded a ticket. I'd never been to anything but a theater, carnival, fair, legitimate stage production. So I thought that I had to have a ticket. So by getting me inside the door, they gave me a little card. It didn't have a picture of Jesus on it. It had a picture of three men, a boat and a net. So I took it. It was my ticket. It was all right. I went on in to the little church. And when they started singing the same songs that you're singing here tonight, in the city where the Lamb is the light, all those songs, they would be revolted at those songs today, but they were singing them at that time. I started tap dancing, and I danced all over their church. There wasn't anything they could do to stop me. I just danced. I thought that that was the stage, and I was on, and that was the way it was. But then they sent me to my Sunday school class, and I took all the money out of the little dish, put it in my purse, and refused to give it back. My aunt had had quite enough of me, and she got me out of there and took me home. She told my mother, I'd never been so humiliated in my life. 4-year-old child, never been inside the door of a church before in her life. But you can't believe the embarrassment and the humiliation I went through and everybody else in that church. My mother thought it was funny. Laughed, she thought it was hilarious. So the next year sometime, I don't know if it was 6 months later, a year later, somewhere in that period of time, I saw Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ appeared to me. I saw him standing up in the heavens, and he looked down to the earth below. He surveyed the earth. He looked from one side. He moved his head from one side to the other, and he looked at everything below. And then he started coming down. Came down very fast, swift, but with the grace of a big eagle. His movements were so beautiful that it was beyond anything that you could even describe. Surrounding the Lord, even when he stood in the heavens, was like a rainbow of color. Every shade and every color. Shades and colors that you could never imagine on this side of eternity would be possible. I remember even in the colors, there were shades of grays even that were absolutely exquisite. Beautiful beyond anything that you could even explain. He had on a bright red robe, and his hair flowed in the wind, softly, not briskly, but very soft. And the thing in my little childish mind that stood out so much, he didn't have on any shoes. And his feet were pressed together. Both of his feet were like that as he came down. He came down and he stood before me and he spoke to me. By way of explaining what he had said, I never fully realized until years later that I studied the Bible, read the Bible, found the scripture of what the Lord really had said to me. My mother and her family were raising commercial peaches and berries on the ridge. They had big scales. There was big packing sheds out there. They had big scales. They'd weigh like, I don't know, a half ton, I don't know what it was. But there were scales there. And I said to them, I saw Jesus. And they said, what Jesus? Somewhere in my mind, that church connected and the card, I have the slightest idea how, who knows, how God deals with the mind of a child. But he does. He said, suffer, little children, come unto me. Forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And God deals with children. I know that many of our children have had very supernatural experiences in God. I know that they have. I said, I saw Jesus. What Jesus? The one that fishes men out of wells. And he talked to me. Well, what did he say to you? He said that he's going to put all of you on scales and weigh you off. What he said to me was, in that day, many shall be weighed in the balances and found wanting. Those were the words he said. So they felt that by me losing my father, and I had a big picture of my dad on the wall, that someone had told me something about Jesus, and because I'd lost my father, that I was looking to this great man that was going to come, and he was going to take the place of him, and that he was going to be the hero, and that it was just a childish fantasy. There wasn't any fantasy about it. It's just as real. It happened. That's the way it happened. And I contacted the tuberculosis that my father died with. We came to this house across the street here. The world never sees or knows. Do they ever visualize or can they ever concern a move of God or spiritual things? They can't. It passes right over their head. If they could, they would have known who Christ was in Jerusalem. They would have recognized him. They'd have known immediately who he was. He went completely unnoticed, other than possibly every kind of a devious lie upon the face of the earth after they realized that God had brought them forth, the demon spirits within them. Then they called him illegitimate, and he's nothing, he's just nothing, he's just trash, and he's this, and he's that, he's something else. The world never sees, or they never know, when God is making a great move. They never have ever. They never knew it in the life of any of the prophets. They never saw it. They were not aware of it
resented them when they came and told them the truth, always set out to kill them, to destroy them, because they didn't want to hear it. People want to hear sweet things. They want to hear good things. During the time that I was dying with tuberculosis in this house, some people came into this old garage and they held a revival here. And every night those people gathered together, the poorest group of people that you could ever, ever imagine. And I waited for those people all day because there was something just so super special about those people and them coming here that every hour of the day I had to know every few minutes, what time is it and how long is it until the people come. My grandmother hated them worse than anything in the world. The minute they would come, she would start just ranting and raving like a complete maniac. She was going to call the sheriff's department. She's going to have them arrested. They're disturbing her peace. My mother would beg her, "Mama, please leave those people alone. They're not bothering you. They're not bothering you at all. They're bothering me plenty. They're bothering my sleep." They were bothering her peace. There's no doubt about that. Bothering her plenty. Every night those people would come, they had an old piano, a beat-up piano, a beat-up tambourine, and a beat-up old guitar. And let me tell you, they sang to the glory of God. There was no front in this building. And all of a sudden they'd shoot out around the sides, and it seems to me like there was an opening in here somewhere. I'm sure that there was. And they would shoot clear around this building, just shouting and hollering, and it was incredible. There was something about those people that was so fascinating. There was just something about them that was compelling. There was just, everybody in this town hated those people. They talked about them. They persecuted them. They mistreated them. But I was dying, hemorrhaging from my lungs. I'd hold my head up and the blood would run one side to the other. And one night they thought that I was dying, and someone told these people. And these people came and they laid hands upon me and prayed for me, and God healed me. And shortly after that, I went up to our relatives up in the Ozark Mountains. They were a young couple, had absolutely nothing. They were so poor. They put me in a little room. I'm going to show you why Jesus appeared to me. The word has to be fulfilled. It doesn't make any difference who it is or what the purpose. You must be born again. And there is only one mediator to the throne of God, and that's the man Christ Jesus. There's no other way that we can be saved. God's word is, it's so pure. It's the only thing in the world that is undefiled. It'll never change. Never, ever change. And God keeps his word. Maybe not the day you think he should, but he's going to keep his word. In this little shack of a house, they had a little record player in there, and you'd have to wind it up to play. They had one record. When the world's on fire, when the world's on fire, won't you let God's bosom be your pillow? Hide me over in the Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages cleft for me. Sleep, I couldn't eat. I don't believe there has ever been a person in the world under such Holy Ghost conviction as I was under. I could have been a bank robber, a murderer. It was unreal. And I'd play that record and scream and cry and say, what's the matter with you? Oh, I'm going to hell. Well, what in the world have you done? What have you done to go to hell? I don't know, but I'm going. This would go on all night and all day. I had those people out of their minds. You're not going to go to hell. You haven't done it. Oh, yes, I am. If you don't stop this screaming and keeping us up all night, we're going to take you home. We can't stand any more of it. Well, they really were not going to do anything, you know, because God was ready for them to do anything. So they really were not going to do anything. Well, they really were not going to do anything, you know, because God was ready for them to do anything. So they really were not going to do anything. Put on that little white gown and just fly through that house all night and just scream and holler that I was going to hell. Just drive them crazy. Have everybody up running around and just please, just get in bed, lay down. I'd get in bed and I'll tell you, it was like the whole heavens just bursted up. And I'll tell you, I was born again. The Lord showed me world conditions in the form of clouds of one nation rising up and devouring the other. The beast, the one world church. I saw it. I saw it all. There in those mountains alone with God, I saw it. I saw churches with steeples toppling. Little churches, all kinds of churches, and the earth shaking, and they were toppling and falling, and the people were running and screaming. As each nation would devour the other, I saw communism is what I saw. So you see, I know what I'm talking about. I've known it for a lot of years because God told me. He showed it to me. So it isn't anything anybody ever told me. Nobody's ever really told me anything that ever amounted to anything. Everything I've ever known in my life, I've learned from God. The Lord spoke to me and said, in the last days, you'll do a great and mighty work for me. Went on at times. But I ran back to the house and I said, oh, Bonnie, I'm not going to hell. She said, well, I'm sure glad to hear that. That's wonderful. Now, what made you decide that? Well, I had it. Believe me, I had it. I said, I'm going home now. Well, we can't take it now. Well, I'm going home right now because I have to tell my mother. Right then and there, I started preaching to those two people. Do you believe that? I said, now you two are going to go to hell. Immediately. Well, as long as you're not going, everything's fine, and you know, we don't have to listen to that anymore. Well, then that's okay. They brought me home. Now, the thing that astounds me that adult people allow their parents to tell them what to do. I was a 9-year-old kid. I came home, walked in the door, and I said, we're going to church Sunday. I'm going to my mother, you're going, and to that old grandmother that was the most absolutely impossible creature that ever breathed the breath of life, and you're going too. She said, I'll tell you one thing, if I ever get to where a 9-year-old kid's going to tell me what to do, she said, I'll commit myself to a mental institution. But you want to know something? That old lady went to church on Sunday. I said, I'll make life so miserable for you that you'll wish you was committed. Believe me. You'll go. I started preaching to people. People that I would see. People that I'd talk to. never once ever occurred to me that I wasn't going to church or to ask my folks if I could go. That never occurred to me. I knew I was going to go, and I knew that they were going to go too. And that was all there was to it. There wasn't anything to discuss. At 9 years old, I knew what I was going to do, and I did it. Then a lapse of 10 years of time of denomination, hell, despair. Stayed in the denominational churches till I was 14 years old. Even taught Sunday school. But they began to fall apart. Then the California, the same churches, removed the old mourner's bench. Took all the old gospel songs out of the song books. Are you washed in the blood? There's power in the blood. All these songs were done away with. And they were all just new, modernistic songs. Nothing about the blood of Jesus. Nothing about the power of God. His death at Calvary. His resurrection from the dead. His returning to this earth. It was all done away with. It became a modernistic message. The pastors and the deacons hang around the cocktail lounges after services. Said the Bible says, have a little wine for the stomach's sake. Most of them coming out of the seminaries were not even born again. They were not saved. It was the most desperate, the most horrible time that could ever be imagined. And not one person to turn to. No one. If I tried to talk to the pastor, he consoled me that everything was just fine. That I didn't have anything to worry about. Thank God for His Word. He never, ever fails. If we really have a heart that's hungry towards Him, if that root is in our hearts, that desire for truth, He's going to fulfill. Going to a revival in that dead modernistic church, and I'd come home every night crying, the tears running. I knew there was a place in God. I knew there was a depth. I knew there was a height. I'd have talked to those people about anything supernatural. They looked at you like you was crazy. You was out of your mind. Jesus was a good attendance on Sunday morning for Sunday school. A good attendance for the evening service. Good offering. And all these things were put up on the board so everybody could see how many came to Sunday school. What the offering was. Have you ever seen that, Ruth? I'll bet you have. Have you ever seen it, Nancy? It was all right there. Our good works were made manifest upon the board on the wall. And there it was. And then my soul was dying. I think about you young people, and if someone would have taken me by the hand and brought me into a place like this, I tell you, there is nothing upon the face of this earth that could ever have turned me around. Nothing. Not anything could ever have done. And every night when I'd go home and throw that Bible down, it would just automatically open to the book of Acts. And I'd read how those people gathered together, how they believed God. And they were waiting upon the promise of God and to the fathers. They knew that God was going to keep His word, that He was going to fulfill His word. And they were just gathered together there, just a group of people. The Virgin Mary wasn't even filled with the Holy Ghost before that. She's just a Jewish girl, Jewish woman. Handmaiden. Picked of God. That was all. Flesh of Israel. When I would read those scriptures, something was happening in my soul. Something was happening to me. And I would go back and read them and read them. Now you bear in mind, I was 25 years old. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You see, I never put the thing together that these people here, of what they were. All I knew was they were born again Christians. They were Christians. But I never put the thing together of the baptism. See, I never was able to put it together because I didn't know about that. And the more I would read those scriptures, the more my heart would just fill with desire and anticipation. I said, oh my God, how wonderful this is. So I took my Bible and I went over to the Nazarene pastor and I said, look at this. He looked at it and he says, oh my God, no. Don't have anything to do with those people. Now, I'm warning you. What people? That bunch of holy rulers, I'm telling you, they are mentally insane. They should be committed. They're dangerous people. Don't you have anything to do with them. Now remember that I warned you. I said, look, this is just a group of people. They believed God. They just gathered together and they believed God and they were waiting upon God for the Holy Ghost, for the power of God that was promised unto them. They were in one accord, which means they had faith. They were believing. Isn't that right? If our church is gathered together and we're in one accord and we have faith to believe God, is He going to answer us? Of course He's going to answer us. That's what those people, that's what they were doing. And the power of God fell upon them and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I said, that's what I want. That's what I want. I want to have the same thing those people had. Oh, and I just loved it when everybody come down there and said they was drunk. And Peter stood up and said, well, these people are not drunk. They're not drunk. But this is that which is spoken of by the prophet. Why, these people have been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you know. What a commotion. I said, that's the most wonderful thing I've heard of in my life. That's just what I want. That's just what I want. Never doubted. But what I could have that, they could have it. I said to the pastor, the Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change, people do. And I'll tell you, I had the most glorious experience with God. I was truly baptized in the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Was so new at that time. I told people about it. Wasn't until years later that there began to be even any understanding of it. And by the time some of the denominational churches, there was no leadership in Pentecost. They were sent back into Catholicism. They were sent back into the denomination. And it swallowed them up. Greatest move of God, I believe, that has been since the birth of Jesus Christ. Manifestation of the Holy Ghost upon us, our flesh. And again, the apostate church stepped right in. Now, what does the scripture say? They were standing by and just waiting for Jesus to be born, weren't they? To go in and to take hold upon that glorious event and put it in to that idol worshiping, horrible mess. So were they standing by waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And did the same thing with it. I watched it happen. Told Tony years ago. I said, the apostate church, the weak Christians, are building the one world church and the Antichrist. They're building it. I showed them how they were doing it. That don't ever have anything to do with it. Dangerous. I said, people will lose their souls that take them who are washed in His blood, filled with His Spirit, and send them back into an apostate church structure. I've watched all these events as they've happened, all the way down, every one of them. I know what I'm talking about. I've seen it. I've watched it. I told you these things tonight because the Lord told me to. I don't know whose heart here needed to hear that, to know about it. But I know that someone did. There has never been a great move of God within the church. It has never been. And it never, ever will be. There wasn't a great move with the ministry of Jesus Christ, with all the miracles. There was no move inside the churches of that tremendous event. And most people really were unaware of so many of the things that were happening all around them. And that they were being a part of eternal history. That the events that were transpiring all around them would echo back from eternity for billions and trillions and trillions of years. That there would never be any end to it. We're a strange people. We're a peculiar people. As opposed to a person like Jack Mosley, as well as a tongue-in-cheek, smart remark, I guess we are. There is a mystique. The Bible says we're a peculiar people. Keith Kelly, I don't understand how you got in this old garage tonight. I don't know, Nancy, you, Danny, any of you, I don't know. But I know the one who does. And I'm just so glad that we're here this evening. Oh, wouldn't it have been tragic if he had called someone else to be here tonight? I wouldn't say to you tomorrow some great miracle is going to happen here that's going to turn the eyes of the world upon us. I wouldn't say Jesus is coming tomorrow. But I can tell you this much. God has never led a people as far as He has led us and then dropped them. Never, ever. We have got to get built. We have to take care of first things first. Amen. They who wait upon the Lord shall do what? they'll rise up with wings of eagles. No, God is not finished with us. He hasn't really even started with us. We really were not ready before. But you know something? We are preparing to meet God. I feel that every day of my life, I look out at that ridge, that big old mansion up there. Most of you know exactly what it is. It's a warehouse, is what it is, a steel warehouse, sectioned off into great big rooms, but it's a mansion. But it brought up our financial statement until it is absolutely staggering. And that's what we had to have. By Friday or Saturday, we may be able to tell you something, that this fast before the Lord brought into being, it's really going to thrill you. Keep contending before Him. When you hear the full story of it, it's astounding, because we had just simply pushed it aside and figured, well, that's all over. But it wasn't. When I look at every one of you, and I think about the diversified backgrounds, the lives, yet you have shared in and you have been a part of that scene in the bedroom across the street, the healing. I think most of you feel like that you was in that little shack in the Ozark Mountains during that time of such a strong dealing of the Holy Spirit. The things that happened. I know that this place has a very special meaning to you, as it does to me. I feel the Lord here tonight in such a great, there's such a sweet spirit. The Holy Spirit is just hovering in, around, and among us. None of these people here knew, saw, or were ever aware of anything that God did here. Nothing. They went on, they lived their lives, they gave place to the devil. And all you can ever hear out of one of them is some untruth that never happened. Nothing to it. Any more than they knew anything about the life of Jesus Christ. He went unnoticed until he came to preach the gospel for 3 years, and then everybody knew him. Why, isn't that Joseph, the carpenter's son? See? Same story. Satan never changes his tactics. Do you know something? That's why, if we stay in the Spirit, we've got Him beat. God told us about Him. We have an M.O. on Him from the kingdom of heaven. He has never changed, and He never will. You have got Him beat. Use the weapons that you have. You have them. Use them. What is the weapon? The Word. The Word of God. It is written. It is written. I'm going to ask everybody to stand together, rejoicing in song, and let's all sing together. Tom will lead us. We won't hold a prayer meeting tonight. With this, if you have aught against your brother, your sister, God can't move where there's bitterness. Please go to them, ask them to forgive you. Be here early in the morning to get your feet washed. All you dirty-seated people, be in here. Praise the Lord.
Lord is coming back to earth again. Jesus.
Amen. I am watching for the coming of that glad millennial day, when our blessed Lord will come and catch His waiting bride away. My heart is filled with rapture as I labor, watch, and pray for the Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, the Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, the Lord is coming back to earth again. Dead and we'll be bound, 1,000 years we'll have no tent to them. So Jesus will come back to earth again. Jesus coming back will be the answer to our sorrowing cry. For the knowledge of the Lord will fill the earth, the sea, and sky. He'll take away all sickness and the suffering tears will dry. But our Jesus will come back to earth again. Oh, the Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, the Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, Satan will be bound, 1,000 years we'll have no temple then. After Jesus will come back to earth again. When the sin and sorrow, pain and death of this dark world will cease, the glorious reign with Jesus of 1,000 years of peace. All the earth is groaning, crying for that day of sweet release, for Jesus to come back to earth again. Oh, the Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, the Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, Satan will be bound, 1,000 years we'll have no tempter then. But our Jesus will come back to earth again. Oh, the Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, the Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, Satan will be bound, 1,000 years we'll have no tempter then. After Jesus will come back to earth again.
Well, I will never see.
for the whole testimony of this work, O Lord and God. Lord, the way that Thou hast revealed Thyself and, Lord, kept Thy servant over the years. Lord, we thank You for the place that You have brought us to in all these years. And, Lord, we thank You for giving us everything that You have. Thank You for Your word and the armor, Lord and Master. For the armor that You give us against the powers of darkness. For truly the powers have been revealed in these last hours, O Lord and God. And they are strong, but we are more than conquerors in the armor of the living God. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. More than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord and God, give us the power and the strength. Let us contend, O Lord and God, for the things of the Most High. Lord, until we meet tomorrow morning at the foot washing. And pray, and everyone says, Amen.